you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Just recapping yesterday briefly, if you were tuned in, we read another chapter out of Marianne's book, Memories of an African Son. It was titled Angels Unawares. Yeah. I think you might have been blessed. And we didn't get to have much conversation about the fact that there's biblical references about angels being ministering spirits sent to serve those that will inherit salvation. So there is such a thing as angels. It's maybe not what Hallmark or other cards are, these little cherubim are around chubby little children.
Apparently people fall down in dead faints when they see them.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened with the little baby.
Yeah, the baby cherubim. But anyways, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But today we have another special guest in the studio. In fact, I should start out by saying, what's this about twins? When you get two women together and they're talking about children and there's, how are the twins doing? I'm like, what's with the twins, Maggie? And we'll formally introduce you in just a minute.
Well, we have twin baby granddaughters, 4 months old, that I get to help take care of.
There's a glow around Maggie's face
as she talks
about these twins and being a grandma. So
it is special.
We have a lot of grandmas that tune in to our station.
Yeah.
Well, we're so glad that you've made it to the center here
to read.
You've written a number of stories for our Prime Lifetimes papers, and one that was very influential for Holly and I was The Pollinator Pockets. That was
great.
That front page.
Yeah.
Many months back, but that got a lot of feedback,
a lot of people
talking.
Oh, that's great.
They loved the photograph that we had with that. It's one of our front pages, but it moved Holly and I to investigate more, to follow up on the link, to learn about pollinator pockets and the importance of bees and how we need to nurture these bees and provide a refuge for some of these insects that are necessary for, like, all the farmers for pollinating crops and flowers and everything.
I want to talk a lot about this. We should introduce who
we are here. So with us today on Wednesday is
Maggie Doherty Roberts. Oh my goodness, what a pleasure to have you here, Maggie. Maggie is a master naturalist and a master gardener, well known in the community, and just does an awesome job of getting the word out.
Did you notice the color I'm wearing today?
Oh.
Green? And you kind of have, what color is that? Is that a version of green? You know, as master gardeners, do you always have to have green?
It looks like aqua ocean to me.
Right. Spring. I'm going for spring.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, did you plan that out, Mark?
No, I didn't think so. No.
You thought it was St. Patrick's Day. No, never mind. Well, speaking of Irish, I mean, you can't get much more Irish than Mary Margaret Doherty.
That's right.
So what's the catalyst? It's the front page of our May edition of the Prime Lifetimes. It's entitled The Gift.
The Gift of Trees.
Gift of Trees. And it's a fun picture.
Yeah.
It's kind of I don't know who originally made this. It's almost like a watercolor or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Is it a boy or I think a little boy with a straw hat on under a huge tree. I'd love to have Maggie read it, and then we can talk about all the amazing pollinating and getting the natural habitat back in place and everything. It's just incredible. But.
All right, let's all turn to the front page of the May edition of the Prime Lifetimes.
All right.
And we have the author right here in the studio.
Okay. As a child, I had to memorize the poem Trees by American writer Joyce Kilmer. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. Hmm. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree.
Beautiful.
Wow, amen.
I enjoyed trees as a child. I liked climbing them. I liked eating the apples, though often misshapen and worm-ridden, from trees in our yard. A few times my friends and I tried to smoke the seed pods from what we called the cigar tree, most likely a catalpa. Come to think of it, I haven't actually seen a catalpa in many years. And as I walked home from school, I passed a lovely buckeye tree. I began to collect the fallen buckeyes. After I had accumulated quite a supply of them, I had the idea of making a Buckeye rosary.
Nice.
We removed the outer husks, and my dad drilled holes in the shiny brown buckeyes. I then threaded sturdy string through them in a pattern of beads on a rosary. It was unique, probably one of a kind, but not very practical. It was quite heavy, as you can imagine. Mm. As an adult, I continue to enjoy trees. As a matter of fact, I love trees, and I miss their leafy crowns terribly in the winter. I'm thrilled to see the new spring buds appearing on many trees, and I'm anxiously awaiting the blooming of the red buds, magnolias, dogwoods, and flowering crabs.
And that's all happening right now.
It sure is. Yep. And the dogwoods are so glorious this year.
Yeah, they are.
Really fantastic.
They really are.
My eyes feast on the green when spring is truly here to stay. Last year I was traveling in northern Arizona on the way to visit the Petrified Forest National Park. Although the park itself is quite interesting, the surrounding area was so devoid of trees, shrubs, or really any green living thing that I declared I could never live there, nor even visit there again. Trees provide the very necessities of life itself. They clean our air, protect our drinking water, create healthy communities, and feed the human soul. This sentence introduces the Arbor Day Foundation's Time for Trees initiative, with plans to plant 100 million trees by 2022, the 150th anniversary of Arbor Day.
Mm.
Well, beside their visual appeal, why are trees so important? Trees remove pollution from the atmosphere, improving air quality and human health. Since 1990, global forests have removed about a third of all fossil fuel emissions from the atmosphere. Annually, an acre of mature trees can absorb the amount of carbon dioxide produced by a car driven 25,000 miles. A study in 2016 by Matt Heckman found that trees are the most cost-effective method of curbing air pollution levels and combating the urban heat island effect. In the United States alone, pollution removal by trees is estimated to save at least 850 lives and $6.8 million in health care costs yearly. Who knew?
Really? I bet that number is probably even a lot more if they really, really look at
That's
it.
That's an incredible figure.
Yeah.
Trees sequester carbon dioxide and release oxygen. One large tree can provide a day's worth of oxygen for four people. More than 20% of the world's oxygen is produced by the Amazon rainforest. About half of the planet's oxygen is produced by phytoplankton, but trees are a major source as well. The Amazon rainforest generates atmospheric conditions that promote regular rainfall there and in nearby farmland, and possibly as far away as the Great Plains.
My word.
The shade cast by trees lowers surface and air temperatures. The evaporation from trees helps cool the environment. Trees placed carefully around a home can lower air conditioning costs. A single mature oak, for example, can transpire 40,000 gallons of water vapor in its lifetime. As always in science, new research is complicating the picture somewhat, as trees have been found to produce methane in certain situations. So we will be hearing more about that in the future. Forests act as green filters, helping trap and absorb pollutants in the soil before they enter the nearest body of water. In a process called phytoremediation, tree roots sequester...
Okay, everyone, I want you to be spelling that word out for me.
I want everybody to be thinking about the Muhammad Aquifer. This is amazing. Yes. Oh, go ahead and read. Just go ahead and read. I'm sorry.
In a process called phytoremediation, tree roots sequester toxic chemicals and help degrade them into less toxic compounds.
I'm just pausing here again.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
it like God to use the mm-hmm. nature to
oh, yeah.
help with all the different things that,
amazing
that happen?
Amazing system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
God's design.
He had God's design. Trees can help limit flooding as roots absorb moisture in the ground and hold soil together, helping to prevent erosion. We've all seen the news reports about tremendous flooding and erosion in California and other places that have experienced great loss of trees to forest fires. Mm. Throughout history, trees have provided food and shelter for people and animals. 50% of known animal species live in forests, from invertebrates and insects to birds and mammals. More than 300 million people live in or near forests, including 50 million indigenous people who are dependent on the forest for survival. Besides shade and beauty, trees have provided medicines in the past, and they still do. A compound in the eastern red cedar has been found to effectively fight the MRSA bacterium. The asthma drug theophylline comes from the cacao tree. Many rainforest plants are being studied for their cancer-fighting properties. Trees have provided fuel for heat and timber for buildings, homes, ships, and furniture. Take a look around you at all the ways wood and paper products are an integral part of your life, and be thankful for the gift of trees. Would you consider supporting Arbor Day's initiative to plant 100 million trees? Do you have a place you can plant a tree for future generations? Trees native to our area provide the most benefit, and they are also the easiest to grow. East Central Illinois Master Naturalists have a plant sale each year from June 8th through September 21st, where they offer a nice selection of native trees and shrubs. Check it out at go.illinois.edu/ECIMN. A society grows great when old men plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit. Greek proverb.
Oh, beautiful.
goillinois.edu/ECIMN. Wow, I've always loved trees, but this article really helps lay a perspective that maybe many of us have missed or not thought about the importance of trees, how they affect all of life.
Yeah, all of life. Here's Maggie's byline. Maggie Doherty Roberts is a master gardener and master naturalist. She feels a strong connection to nature and a sense of responsibility to the environment. Her hobbies are traveling and gardening. Maggie and her husband have lived in Champaign for over 30 years.
Woo-hoo.
They have three grown children. You can reach her at irishgardener3, that's the numeral 3, at AOL.com.
Irish gardener.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, this is so... There's so many important facts in here. I love it.
The first important fact, I thought that you and Maggie have connected so well, but maybe it is rooted back in both of your love of climbing trees. Because you were climbing, you're reading from on Tuesday from your Memories of an African Son, how many times you've climbed trees. I think many children, just there's something about climbing a tree, getting higher.
Find a little nook.
Yeah, and sitting and looking.
And falling out. Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I did. Well, Maggie, how did you, I mean, you're very knowledgeable and very involved in these subjects. How did that come about for you?
I think this was such a long winter, and I missed the trees so much that I just started thinking about them and awaiting those spring blooms. Uh-huh. And so I just decided to write about that. And I think probably a lot of us had to memorize that poem as a child, don't you? So, and it's so good.
Well, we're telling our age when we talk about having to memorize in school.
Oh,
we had to.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
We did.
Well, Maggie, give us a snapshot into your life aside from writing stories and content. So we know you're a grandmother of twins.
Yes.
But what was some of your other life experiences?
Well, I try to think of why I love nature so much, and I think it was because I was exposed as a child, and my dad had planted a lot of trees in our yard and was excited about them, and we took trips to local parks nearby, and we took trips to national parks, and I do that to this day, and that will be an upcoming column. We
have
two other couples that we go with, and we're trying to tackle all the national parks, too, because they're all beautiful in their own way. So I think I got exposed to it as a child, and it just stayed with me. And
it's not just trees, though. It means everything, plants.
Everything.
It's the animals. It's the the bees, the butterflies. The,
you
raise caterpillars on your porch.
Yes.
Yeah.
I raised and monarchs and black swallowtails.
That's awesome.
Hey, talk about this initiative of planting trees, because I think Great News Radio listeners can get involved in that. And what is it? 100 million trees by 2020.
I love that.
See, Israel is front and center, and they've been planting trees for years. millions and millions. Uh-huh. I think per cap, there's more trees planted in Israel than anywhere. You know, it's such a tiny country, but they've been doing that for years.
Per capita? Oh.
Yeah, for the number of people there and the hundreds of millions of trees. But it sounds like America's getting involved and seeing the wisdom in having these trees and the importance for helping with pollution, for fresh air, for a lot of different reasons.
Well, the original Arbor Day, I mean, Americans came out and planted many trees, and then it kind of seemed like it fell off, and now they're back with trying to encourage us to really do this.
I think because it's recognized how important they are. Yeah.
Maybe the science is coming out where they're saying this is where it may be at a tipping point, or this is crucial. And I've heard people talk about the rainforest, but you don't ever realize that what they're saying, the percentage of fresh air created because of those rainforests, and as we continue to grow and increase, and I don't know if you'd say modernize, but we plow down woods to plant or to create homes.
Right.
You know, it is going to have a major impact on this world.
Christ. Mm-hmm. You wrote here that the Amazon rainforest, it helps generate rainfall here.
Possibly could, even here in the Great Plains.
Amazing.
Yeah, 20% of the world's oxygen is produced by the Amazon rainforest. And, you know, you always hear about
it. And that is being taken down for grazing and other reasons, too. So.
So I just want to hear a little bit about these pollinator pockets in your yard, because what do you have going on this year? What are you going to have going on?
Well, I've already been out there with my camera checking out the bees that are coming to visit the various things that I try to have something that starts blooming right away for them and that goes through the summer and into the fall for the various types of bees and butterflies and other pollinators that are out there. And I've been taking pictures of it, and I have a little Instagram page.
And
that
you talk about how important it is for us to bring in these pollinators that are native to our area so things don't get lost, and they really need to come back.
Well, the situation is that we have a lot of native bees. Honeybees are not native.
Ah.
Honeybees were brought over from Europe. But we have a lot of native bees here, and they have co-evolved with the trees and plants from this area.
Mm-hmm.
So they are just suited for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when we plant something native, it is most likely going to reach a lot more of the native bees.
Oh, that's
great. They are great pollinators, too. You know.
And what maybe people don't recognize, now I read your article some months back, but the importance of these bees and these insects that help pollinate crops and so much, you know, if we didn't have these pollinators, these bees and other insects, our crops wouldn't properly grow. Or
Not necessarily corn and soybeans, which is, you know, the biggest in this area, but a lot of the other, over 130 fruits and vegetables and nuts that are healthy foods that are important for our diets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and should the pollinator disappear, then a lot of those plants will not be able to reproduce.
Yeah, many people have said, you know, I don't see the butterflies I used to have seen.
A lot
and
of people say
I mean,
that.
We used to, I remember 8 and 10 years ago, we had a lot more butterflies.
I know.
It's like, and I know some of it is the insecticides or pesticides and some of the spraying of the crops that have, you know, minimized the insects. And so there's a balance. Yeah, we want the crops to be able to be harvested and such, but it's affecting the bees and the other insects that we need. And so it's finding that balance. But what you did with that initiative of helping raise awareness of these pollinator pockets, maybe in a couple minutes, tell the listener what they could do to get involved, to use, maybe it's just an 8x8 section in their backyard.
Absolutely.
So it's not like they turn their whole yard into this garden.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a whole field. Yeah. Well, we saw it in our yard and we saw it in our neighborhood. And then I attended quite a few lectures by postdoctoral students here talking about the biodiversity even in cities being greater than in the farmland nearby, and it's because of gardens. And because in the garden you can plant a variety of plants that appeal to a lot of different pollinators, and it's kind of an oasis and can keep them going. So we researched it more, and the Extension Office came up with the idea of pollinator pockets, and it could even be an area area between your garage and a fence that nothing else really grows there. And you put in the right kind of plants, and you are helping to sustain some of those insects during that time of year. So it's really fun. It's fun to know that you are helping in a small way, and it's colorful, and it's...
Well, for people who don't know, so many people who know you think of you as just this amazing person of nature. I mean, they do. I mean, even the articles, people are reading them like, oh my, you've got purple martins, you've got monarchs, you've got all these birds and all these things and these native plants, and it's just idyllic, and it's just so inspiring.
Hmm. Well, we love it.
You have inspired a lot of people just through the paper.
I am so happy about that.
Mark's talking about the pollinator pockets back in June of 2018. I've got that paper here just a second, because I'm going to give this web address for the whole pollinator pocket idea and how people can get help to create one. There's two addresses. One is go.illinois.edu/pocket. The other one is web.extension.edu/cviv/pollinators. And again, you can go online and look in our archives to the June 2018 edition and just read pollinator pockets.
Yeah. PrimeLifetimes.com, PrimeLifetimes.com, and you'll see archive programs, and then just go and look up the June 2018 mm-hmm. edition, and you can read that story. We'd highly recommend it. It helps our environment. It helps the insects that we need to go mm-hmm. around and pollinate other plants and flowers. But today's we're talking about trees, and there's this initiative for encouraging Americans
to plant trees.
Yeah. 100
how
million
many trees.
Trees.
They're looking for 100 million by 2022.
I'm going to plant one. I may just go out in the forest and plant one, but I'll plant one.
Well, I am a proud member of the Arbor Society, and I remember 20 years ago when, you know, you would get your membership and mm-hmm. you can pick out like 6 seedlings, and they came thinner than a pinky finger, really, and I thought, these things, this is a ripoff. These will never grow, and I followed it, and
they did?
20 years later, and one is a big catalpa tree, so if you want to see it in my yard,
That was funny.
It's a big tree.
Oh, my goodness. Yay,
so,
Mark.
We have a number
take
of trees
a picture of it and post
yard.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you, Maggie, for coming and
my
being
pleasure.
A part of Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. And we have continued with our Prime Life Times in Review on Wednesdays. Yeah. So thank you, Marianne, for scheduling Maggie.
Oh,
it seems like you have kindred spirits.
My pleasure.
I know you both love climbing trees as I did. I don't think we do that as much now anymore.
No.
But
love nature still.
Yeah, love nature. And thank you, Maggie, for this interesting article. Do we have a sneak preview for what may be coming in June?
The next one coming up is about famous and special trees around the world.
Okay, trees around the world.
Great.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.